Thank you all very much. Oh, forgot my water. Well, my parents got snow in Shawnee, so I don't know what you all got, which was nothing. My parents got snow, so I've got a relative in McLeod, and they got snow, and I don't know where it stopped, but it didn't make it here.
We got slush.
Did you get slush where?
This morning, when I got up, there was
slush. Oh, okay. Well, you guys have a different drive, though, too. Here, really? I didn't. Jill and I didn't see anything. So, wow. Okay. I'm going to continue looking at basic Christian growth sermon topics, and tonight's sermon is spiritual growth, and I'm looking at it from a sense of more of a Bible study. Than I am a specific text. So I have got a lot of verses to throw at you. So if you're going to try to write them all down, and you absolutely have to have them, I have them all written down here, and I can make you copies if you really want them. Some people are like that, and that's fine. I mean, after church, we can go make copies, and you can take them home. So if you really, really want them, and you want to see all the texts, and that's great, but there are a bunch of them. And so I don't. It may, if you want to flip to the text when I mention it, that's fine. But there's just a lot of them. So just heads up. So, spiritual growth. And the underlying idea is that spiritual growth is a choice. So when we think of spiritual growth, I want you to think of the idea that spiritual growth is a choice. The blessings that you and I enjoy are of redemption and renewal. God saves us, and he makes us new, right? Redemption and renewal. He forgives us, and he makes us new. Titus 3:5 says, not by the works which I have done, or we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of his Holy Ghost, or may say Holy Spirit in translation you're looking at. So when we look at that idea, I think it continues in Romans, when you look at Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there's that idea that there's a redemption and a renewal when we talk about spiritual growth. I think the renewal we find in Christ involves the concept of spiritual growth. So when I think of being renewed, I've been redeemed and now I've been made new. Something continues, right? What's the next step? Well, the next step, I think logically, is spiritual growth. Just like a healthy body grows, I think a healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. Sadly, not all Christians grow spiritually. Would you agree? We know those who have not. We can remember those who made professions of faith, or that we saw start out and just didn't seem to grow for whatever. They have been Christians for many years, but there seems to be little improvement in their spiritual life. They are, for all practical purposes, not any more useful than they were than the day they were born spiritually. And I'm going to assume that many of them were, not all of them may be. But because of that lack of growth, I think in a sense, we can become a stagnant pond. You know, here there are ponds all over Oklahoma. If you're from some of my family down in Texas, they're tanks down there. Not ponds, they call them tanks. If nothing flows through and it only sits, it stagnates, right? Here in Oklahoma, you get the green scum and everything on top of it, and you know how yucky that is and how dangerous it is, as a matter of fact. They warn us all the time about not getting in ponds like that. I think we can become stagnant as well as a Christian if there's not a sense of a spiritual growth. That's because Spiritual growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is a choice. It doesn't happen by default like physical growth. I mean, I was born and I began to grow. Joe's baby that was just born here is going to grow, barring some unforeseen disease that we might contract. We grow physically. Spiritual growth, unfortunately, does not happen like our physical growth. I grew from 3 months to 3 years to 30 years to now 60 plus years, and now, you know, I'm continuing to grow, but that's just physically. Am I growing spiritually? Because if I don't make the choice and stick to it, there won't be physical, spiritual growth. There won't be spiritual growth. So it's a choice. But with that in mind, let me go through some things tonight in the time that we have. First of all, although spiritual growth is a choice, it's commanded by God. First thing is that although spiritual growth is a choice, it's commanded by God. The Great Commission tells us this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. When I look at that passage of Scripture, I see the Great Commission, and implicitly stated in that is the idea of spiritual growth. It's there. How is it there? I think it's there because Jesus commanded his apostles to make disciples. You guys go out and teach people. You guys go out and baptize them in my name. And so by baptizing them and teaching them his commandments, it's implied that they have to grow. They themselves had to grow. They had to listen to Jesus and obey him, right? He gave them a command, go. And if they obeyed that command, they were growing, obeying. But even as they grew, all that they had learned, they had to communicate to somebody else for the purpose of them growing as well. Now, I know you go, yeah, I get it. We need to grow. But if we don't have a biblical understanding of why it's so important, I think we will do with it a lot that people do, which is just pass it off as a fact. But there's more to it than that. And I think that's the problem with the ones who have not grown, is they heard it, but it did not take seed. It did not bury itself in their spiritual life. And they didn't grow. Implicit, the command to teach is there. Constantly growing as they learned and obeyed the Lord. It's implicit. I think it's also explicit. I think it's explicit as found in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That is explicit, isn't it? I think in Matthew it says, it's suggested there has to be growth because you're going to teach people. If you're going to teach people, they've got to grow. But here it says, actually do it. Grow. Grow up. Do something. Grow. And so I think it's explicitly said there that we're supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The grace that he commits to us is opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and following that. But the knowledge that we have from reading his word and understanding what it said about Jesus and the things that the disciples wrote down and whatever the Old Testament told us, learning all of that helps us to acclimate the Spirit in our life. I have the tools. I have the tools. I have a lot of tools. I have a lot of tools. I have, I think, probably 5 or 6 different drills that do 5 or 6 different things. Impact drill, a regular drill, a concrete one, just to drill down in the concrete. I've got drywall, drill. And one day Danielle wanted to use a drill, and she grabbed my drywall drill and tried to use it. It just doesn't work very well for a regular drill. It just doesn't work the same. You know, it's not designed to do that. I think In understanding God's word and growing, I get those tools and know what they're used for, how I'm supposed to take the tools. 2 Peter verses 1, 5 through 8 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For all these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, the scripture says, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I look at that passage, not only is that idea explicit in 2 Peter to grow in the grace of our and the knowledge of our Savior, but now he's giving you direct things to grow and to be fruitful. Christians who do not grow are not fruitful, right? They're not. And with that in mind, I think as you read the New Testament, there are those passages that tell us that's a problem. One of those would be Hebrews. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, going into verse 6, 1, "For when the time you ought to be teachers," he says, "you have need of one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you are become such as that you need milk and not strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason have used their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God." Now, it's not anything that those foundations are wrong, right? We needed the foundations, but we can't just stay around the foundations. I preached in a church one time, and as we left the church, I didn't see it when I came in, but I saw it on the way out, and it was like, we are a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial, dispensationalist church. When we left, I mean, that they were concerned about that enough to put it on the top of the door when you went out. I'm going, okay, I mean, I get it. I understand that, but is that the most important thing I need to worry about? That's what they wanted to talk about. That's where their mindset was. And they could talk about that for hours on end, but they could not talk about the other things of God. I've been in some churches where I preached, and as I preached to the congregation, I would have some people come up and want me to review some things again, because we were pushing toward growing and they weren't ready to do that. They wanted to be in what I grew up, the Thule's. Do you ever understand that term, the Thule's? Is that everything? If there is a body of water, and there's a low place where the small fish are, where the grass grows a little shorter, and you can stand there and see things. That, to me, growing up, was the Thule's, where you would find that. But as you go deeper, of course, eventually you're going to need to get in a boat, right? A lot of people want to stay up here near the shore and never get out in the boat with Jesus. And I've been in some congregations that are like that because they made a spiritual choice not to grow. Only talk about the easy things and the simple things. I think that spiritual growth is commanded of God. Secondly, I think spiritual growth requires diligent effort. Spiritual growth requires diligent effort. Now, physical growth requires some sort of effort, but by default, I'm going to grow. Again, barring any kind of physical a hindrance, you know, I get a disease or something happens and I hurt myself, I'm going to grow unless there's a disorder. No effort is required on my part to grow up. It's just part of who I am. I don't think, though, just because I grow older that I'm growing spiritually. I know some people that, you know, they might as well be in a children's class when it comes to their understanding of the Bible. They just don't know, they just never have grown up. They're too simple in that fact. They've not made the effort. They don't grow. Spiritual growth, to be diligent, requires a concentrated effort. You have to think about what you want to happen. John 6:27 says this: "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval." Again, you know, here's the idea of physical growth versus spiritual growth again, and it's found there in John. I think Jesus requires us, these are his words, grow spiritually, he's saying. Be concentrating on that. I think Paul also said it in the New Testament in Philippians a number of times. Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed me, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That requires concentration and growth. You have to know how to grow. To work out your salvation, you need to know the direction that you're going and work toward that. It's a goal that I'm going toward. Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God hath called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." Again, he knows where he's going, right? There's a goal. And the goal is growth, I think, for Peter, for Paul. Peter also wrote in 2 Peter 2, 1, 5 through 10, "For this very reason," he says, "make every effort to add to your faith." That's growth, adding. "Goodness and goodness, knowledge and knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance and perseverance, godliness and godliness, mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," that's growth, right? Increasing measure is growth. "They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past." It's that same idea. Forget the past. Don't stay where you are. Look forward to moving and growing. And here are verses that underscore that, I think, again. Because like physical health, spiritual growth requires some sort of exercise. 1 Timothy 4:7 through 8. "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself." There's idea of growth, I think, again. "To be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." I'm glad about that. I can get something spiritually here, and it ultimately will help me there as well. So I'm doing something here and making an investment before. I remember growing up, and the term deferred gratification was mentioned a lot. That, you know, If I saved, then I could get this. Although they never used that term, I learned the term later what it meant. If I was careful and took care of the stuff that I had, later in the future I would appreciate it because I deferred my gratification for later. I saved or prepared for. But I had to, again, go toward that goal. I had to shoot for that goal. So second, required in our life for spiritual growth is a diligent effort. I think third, and I appreciate this from the scripture, that spiritual growth is assisted by God. Aren't you glad that you're not left on your own to do it by yourself? Spiritual growth is assisted by God. We are not alone in our efforts. I'm not left here by myself. While I work out my salvation with fear and trembling, I still have his assistance. Philippians 2:12 through 13 tells us that same thing. "Therefore, my dear beloved, as you have obeyed," I've read the scripture before. 13 goes on to say, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God's purpose that I do that. And he's helping. He wants me to succeed. He wants me to get that place. And so I get help from God. Just as he was with us in the producing of new birth, he's with us to the growth of new birth. In Titus, chapter 3, 5, he saved us not because of the righteousness we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Again, that verse reminds us that he is involved in the process. He helps us as we get through that. So God desires for us to complete the work that he started. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of that very thing, he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So he's with us. He's assisting us. Our efforts are not alone. And I think also with that in mind, we are strengthened by God in our efforts. We're not alone. He's with us. It's one thing for somebody to be beside me. I've gone places where people have patted me on the shoulder or, you know, we're with you. We're right behind you, okay? Really far behind you, but, you know, we're with you. We're with you, Brother Marty, and they're there, but, you know, they aren't really of a whole lot of assistance. Well, God is there with us. He tells us the Holy Spirit's right beside us. He's the comforter. He's with us. But he's helping me actively. I've gone some places and been involved in some sporting events where it seemed like there are two or three people who are pulling the whole team along. Have you ever been there? You know, that maybe you were the only one that seemed to be doing any effort in it and everybody else was slacking. God does not slacken his effort toward us. Amen. He helps us. He strengthens us. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. He strengthens us on the inside as we grow spiritually. I think he also, Ephesians 3:20 tells us that he empowers us. Now to him who is able to immensely, immeasurably do more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So he's empowering us in a way that we never imagined. He's also giving us the armor to stand. Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens me. I'm not alone in this spiritual growth. God did not set me out. You know, there's a thought process that theologically in some circles that God started the planet, spun it into existence, scattered people on the planet and said, let's see how they do. There are a group of people who believe that. That believe that we are basically on our own, that we have to do what? Those are the people that believe you work for your salvation, that I earn something. But that's not what the New Testament tells us. But it does tell us that he is actively involved. I remember the Time magazine article cover that said, God is dead. I mean, you remember that? I remember it. I've got it, I think, somewhere in one of my files. I saved it. And theologically, that is the idea. There's a term in the New Testament called kenosis, and it means to pour out. And the theological idea is that when God poured himself out on the cross, which is where that term comes from, that he poured more out of himself than he intended and died literally on the cross, never to come back. Now, that's the theological idea, and that's where the idea that God is dead came from. That God was not aware that if he did that, die on the cross, he would really die and that'd be the end. Well, you and I understand that he came back and that's not true. But that's where that idea comes from. That God is not actively involved anymore. But the Bible, through the apostles, tell us he is involved, actively assisting us. I think also that the spiritual choice to grow is blessed by God, not just assisted, but blessed. I think the blessings come, and you see it in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be glory both now and forever. When we look at that verse, I think we are encouraged to grow, but we see it as a blessing. Romans 5 tells us this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, through whom we have gained access by faith through the grace which now we stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that God has put upon us. The verse we read earlier about 2 Peter 3:18, we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We experience that blessing. We add to it. It's part of what we experience as a victorious life in Jesus. That passage and those passages move us forward. They allow us to see what God wants. 2 Peter 1:10 says this, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, for you do these things that you may never fall." It's a recognition of what God promised. You remember, indeed, spiritual growth is what Jesus called an abundant life. I've come to give them life and what? Abundantly. And life is growth. So it's a blessing. The blessing continues in the life to come. I look in the New Testament and I see 2 Peter 1:11. "For the entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Those are verses people overlook. They don't even look at that verse. They pass over it to get to something else in 2 Peter. But he's promising us entrance into the kingdom of God. "I go prepare a place for you." And this helps us, I think, to see as we drill down into the scripture what is there and what's available for us. We study the book of Revelation, and you look at Revelation 14, 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are they which are dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Isn't that great to know? That yes, I'm being blessed here while I'm here on this life, but in the life to come, everything I've done here will follow me. It is an investment. It is deferred gratification. I get something now, but I get something later as well. It will follow me, the works that I do for the Lord. I think, at the very least, our labors will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." What a great message. You have probably worked any number of places that you thought your labor was in vain. It was helping somebody else, but it wasn't doing a lot for you. And sometimes when we look at the things that we do for the Lord, we wonder, what is this doing? Is it accomplishing anything? Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Let me say it again. Your labor is not in vain. What you do for the Lord accomplishes something. I think sometimes we feel like, will it make a difference? Yes, it will. Never forget that. Your labor is not in vain. I think, without going through every verse that I've got left, because I've got a few, I think we get to a conclusion, and it's this. We've been talking about spiritual growth. I think the Bible tells us that some hearts grow dull. You read Matthew 13, 15, "For his people, this heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, otherwise that they might see with their ears and hear, or see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and in turn I would heal them." Some people's hearts have grown callous because they don't believe that they've grown. I think some of the love of their heart has grown cold. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 24, "Because of the increase of wickedness in the world, the love of most," what? "Will grow cold." Is it any wonder we look around us and see that in the world today? I think there's a danger of growing weary, the Bible tells us. I think there's a possibility of growing corrupt inside spiritually because we do not grow in the Lord. It's commanded by God to grow. It requires diligent effort from us to grow. It is assisted by God when we grow, and it is blessed by God when we grow. When I look at that passage, I think of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But with that is the hope of growing. When I link myself, when I yoke myself spiritually to Jesus. Let me pray for a moment and then we'll divide up in a prayer time. Father, we look at your word and we see the possibility of spiritual growth. Forgive us when we have not grown as we should. Forgive us when we've been lazy and apathetic. Forgive us when we haven't believed it would make a difference and haven't even tried. But remind us that whatever we do is not in vain, and that we can grow and it can have an impact upon the kingdom now and forever. Help us as we grow spiritually. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, are there any prayer requests that you have tonight that, if you won't mind, one of you, it's right up on the right in front there. Thank you. Any prayer requests?